Now from the KSFR newsroom, at noon looks at the top local news headlines for this Thursday, November 14th.
New Mexico posted the biggest increase in federal immigration prosecutions of any of the nation's 94 judicial districts during the first 11 months of the federal fiscal year that ended October 1st. That, according to a report compiled by Syracuse University's Transactional Records Access Clearinghouse. The study says immigration prosecutions in New Mexico's federal judicial district jumped by 11% from the previous year. The state is on pace to post the most prosecutions since tracking began in 1986. Meanwhile, prosecutions fell in Arizona by 22%. Governor Susana Martinez says she won't quit pushing for legislation to hold back third graders who can't read at grade level. The New Mexican reports that Public Education Secretary Hannah Scandera vowed that she and Martinez will be back in full force at the legislative session in 2014 to push the proposal. The legislature has rejected the plan the past 2 years. It's estimated that about 22% of third graders in the 2011-2012 class risked being retained if those proposed policies had been in place. The need for the waste isolation pilot plant will extend 25 years past its planned 2030 shutdown and will continue accepting shipments through 2055. That's what WIPP's manager this week told lawmakers overseeing the more than $1 billion Department of Energy facility. WIPP will also undergo a 5-year decommissioning process when it finally does close. The Carlsbad area plant accepts plutonium-contaminated waste that is permanently entombed in chambers cut into underground salt beds. Santa Fe City Council has backed revisions to the city's charters that would expand mayoral powers. Final codification of specific ballot measures to be placed before city voters in a special election occurring simultaneously with the March 2014 municipal election will be worked out by the council's mid-December meeting. Among multiple changes to local governance, voters will be asked if the mayor's job should be a full-time post with commensurate pay while barring secondary employment. City councilors on Wednesday approved a resolution requesting that President Obama deny the permit application by TransCanada to construct the proposed Keystone XL tar sands pipeline. Mayor David Koss says the evidence coincides with the modeling that climate change is real.
We see it in our forest fires and drought. Unfortunately, the Philippines just saw it in a massive hurricane, which may have killed 10,000 people.
The official message to President Obama observes that the Keystone Pipeline would increase carbon emissions at a time when the International Energy Administrators and World Bank are warning that 66% of known fossil fuel reserves must be kept in the ground to fight global warming. In other action at last night's council meeting, councilors unanimously approved annexation of 4,100 acres of county lands. The action is expected to be completed early in the new year and will expand the city's population by some 13,000 people. The area is on the city's southwest side near the Airport Road Corridor and New Mexico 599. Governor Martinez has indicated she's not enthusiastic about a plan that would have New Mexico pay $4 million a year for a decade to fund upgrades and maintenance of railroad tracks used by Amtrak's Southwest Chief. The New Mexican reports, Martinez said in a statement, while the state is willing to discuss various proposals, Amtrak is federally funded, and any agreement to keep the train running in New Mexico shouldn't include sticking state taxpayers with a large tab to pay. Santa Fe City Councilors and school board members get together later today for a rare joint meeting. The two panels will discuss a resolution committing Santa Fe City government and public schools to continue making Santa Fe a world-class city with world-class schools. City spokeswoman Jody McGinnis-Porter says the collaboration will benefit local youth.
If we partner with the school systems, we can use parks and partner with them for educational needs. And this is a way for these two large bodies to come together and work to improve schools and share resources and see what we can do to collaborate.
McGinnis-Porter says the city's youth program stands to improve as a result of the collaboration. According to the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services, only 172 New Mexicans have signed up for health insurance through the troubled federal online Affordable Care Act marketplace. The agency said those individuals in New Mexico signed up for a health plan offered by a private insurer through that New Mexico Health Insurance Exchange. Overall, more than 7,800 New Mexicans were found to be eligible to enroll through the health insurance marketplace or qualify and can apply for Medicaid. Mora County's decision to prohibit oil and natural gas development, made back in April to deter the fracking process, has led a statewide industry group and others to go to federal court to challenge the ban. The Independent Petroleum Association of New Mexico and three landowners claim the Mora County ban is unconstitutional and that the county doesn't have the authority to approve such rules. The county's legislation had established a Bill of Rights, giving it a say in such issues. And weather for Santa Fe, mostly sunny today with highs in the low to mid-50s, lows tonight near 30. It'll be partly sunny tomorrow with winds on the increase during the afternoon and a 30% chance for showers, which increases to 40% tomorrow night with snow showers above 8,000 feet. I'm Tom Trowbridge, KSFR News.
Thank you, Tom. And taking a look at Wall Street at midday, all the major indices in positive territory at this hour. The Dow currently up 42 at 15,864, the NASDAQ up 2 at 3,967, and the S&P 500 is up 6. It stands at 1,788. At noon on KSFR, we'll continue in just a moment.
Support comes from New Mexico Educators Federal Credit Union, where the more you participate in your not-for-profit financial cooperative, the more money you earn. For details on Earn Your Return, go to nmefcu.org or visit their branch on St. Michael's Drive.
13 minutes past the hour, as At Noon now segues to today's feature stories. Today is World Diabetes Awareness Day. The New Mexico Department of Health and the Department of Aging and Long-Term Services are partnering to address the health condition in our state. Joining us to talk about the matter are Judith Gabriel and Chris Osero, both with the State Health Department and its Diabetes Prevention and Control Program. Judith, let's begin with you. There are many people here in our state with diabetes, both diagnosed and undiagnosed. Can you take us through these statistical estimates?
Yes, actually about 169,000 people have diabetes in New Mexico. And what is a really serious problem, besides the fact that a lot of those folks don't know they have it, is there's an epidemic of prediabetes. And it's estimated that about 530,000 people in New Mexico have prediabetes, which is a precursor to diabetes, and again, many people don't know that they have it. Nationally, only 11% of people know they have prediabetes, and 35% of the population is estimated to have prediabetes.
And Judith, diabetes is broken into several categories. Speak to that, if you will.
Type 1, where the body does not make insulin, and type 2, in which the body produces insulin and can't use it effectively, or eventually the body may not make insulin anymore. Type 2 is much more common. It accounts for about 90 to 95% of diabetes. And there are several risk factors for type 2 diabetes. Prediabetes is a condition in which the blood sugars are high, but not high enough to be diagnosed with diabetes, and can eventually lead to diabetes. So it's really, really important for people to understand if they are diagnosed with prediabetes, that they can prevent or delay the onset. But again, a lot of people don't know they have either condition. So the really important message there is if you may be at risk for diabetes, you should certainly get tested, see if you're in the prediabetes range or the diabetes range, and then take some action.
And what can tip someone toward developing the disease?
Well, there are several risk factors, and perhaps the most significant is being overweight or obese. If you look at data, the rise in type 2 diabetes strongly mirrors the rise in obesity rates in our country. So that might be, you know, if you had to single out one risk factor, that might be the one. But other risk factors for diabetes are being a woman who had a baby weighing more than 9 pounds at birth, or having had gestational diabetes, which comes on during pregnancy, having a sibling with diabetes, a parent with diabetes, being younger than 65 years old and getting little or no exercise in a typical day, and then age. Being 45 years and older puts you at risk.
Chris Osero, there have been a number of programs put into play to help folks lessen their health risks, yes? What does the Department of Health have in place?
I think our partnership with the Aging and Long-Term Services Department has been a great one in the sense that what we're doing at the local level is we have some great, wonderful programs or resources that are available for people with chronic health conditions and for people with diabetes and also for those people who are at the pre-diabetes stage that Judith talked about. We have a couple of programs that we have been collaborating with the Aging and Long-Term Services Department on to really increase access to our seniors throughout the state, and one of them is the evidence-based Stanford University Chronic Disease Self-Management Program, also known as the Manage Your Chronic Disease Program here in New Mexico, or MyCD. That program is a six-week program that really, it's a skill-building workshop. It's offered once a week for 2.5 hours for a six-week period, and it's for anybody with a chronic health condition to really help them develop the skills to so that they can better manage their chronic health conditions on a daily basis. And over the course of the 6 weeks, it's a group setting, so people come together with various chronic health conditions, so people with diabetes, we have people with arthritis, heart disease, hypertension or high blood pressure. They all come together in this group setting, and they learn how to really come up with some simple skills and tools to help them manage their health condition on a daily basis. And some of the topics that they cover throughout the course of the 6 weeks are medication usage. They also talk about how to communicate more better with your doctor or your healthcare team or even your caregiver or family member. They also cover a segment on healthy eating, falls prevention, balance, better balance. Physical activity, simple exercises older adults can do to, you know, help them stay active and move more to really keep them in that area where they're managing their health a little bit better to where they're not constantly in the ER rooms or going to hospitals and so forth.
And that's why we've teamed up with Aging and Long-Term Care, because older adults are at higher risk for developing diabetes, and then we have this program that may prevent or delay diabetes more successful in older adults. So it really makes a lot of sense to be looking at the older population and partnering with folks who serve the older population.
And Chris, for those who want some more information on some of the things we've been talking about today,
people can call my number at 505-222-8600. And then I can better help them to give them the information they need or get them signed up for a possible workshop in their community.
Judith, final comment?
We have a website at the New Mexico Department of Health Diabetes Prevention and Control Program. The website is www.diabetesnm.org. People can find out about cooking classes for people with diabetes. Professionals can find online trainings. There are several resources there. We also have a toll-free number at the Diabetes Prevention and Control Program. It's 1-888-523-2966. And another really good resource, of course, is the American Diabetes Association. And their website is www.diabetes.org.
Judith Gabriel and Chris Osero with the State Health Department and its Diabetes Prevention and Control Program. Many thanks for joining us here at noon on KSFR.
Support comes from Mountain Cloud Zen Center in Santa Fe, where there's no need to don robes or shave heads. The miracle of everyday life, that's where real awakening happens, in the midst of ordinary lives. A taste of the deep, clear peace of authentic Zen can be found at Mountain Cloud Zen Center. Thursday night talks and Sunday morning practice with resident Zen teacher Henry Shookman. Everyone always welcome. Learn more at mountaincloud.org.
20 minutes past the hour as At Noon continues. animal kill contests in New Mexico. They've caused public uproar as animal rights advocates see them as needless wholesale slaughter of wildlife. Gun and hunting rights advocates say they are a recreational activity that they're free to enjoy, provided that no state laws are broken. Yet another such event is coming up. Joining us to talk about it is Phil Carter, Wildlife Campaign Manager for Animal Protection of New Mexico. Phil, give us the details.
Well, this weekend, Saturday and Sunday, we'll see another coyote killing contest to be held statewide. This one organized by Golden Guns Pawn of Los Lunas, and they're claiming it's a charity benefit for a nonprofit called Children's Outdoor Adventure. The notion of celebrating and incentivizing the killing of animals for charity is, of course, a repulsive thing in of itself. And so my organization has been on the forefront of calling out and bringing attention to these animal killing contests. The listeners may remember, beginning in November 2012, we've seen a number of these being organized by Los Lunas businesses, including Gunhawk Firearms down there. All of these are competitions that reward, usually through prizes or even cash prizes, as in the case of this weekend's contest, of who can kill the most animals indiscriminately, whether it's coyotes or prairie dogs, as Gunhawk Firearms' contest was targeting back in August of this year. And so these sort of contests are not hunting. You know, most hunters oppose this sort of indiscriminate killing of animals just because it displays a complete lack of respect for life. It's indiscriminate, meaning it's just a pure numbers game. There's no fair chase aspect to these either. These sort of coyote contests actually are often reward people to be able to call coyotes to them. And so it's a completely unfair way, exploitation of our state's native wildlife.
Many of our state's officials have publicly voiced opposition to such events, but are powerless under state law to prevent them from being staged. But ahead of this new contest, we've heard State Land Commissioner Ray Powell has issued a warning to rules he can enforce under his authority, yes?
That is correct. Commissioner Powell has sent letters to the organizers of all of the contests since last November, stating that if they engage in these activities of killing coyotes and prairie dogs as part of a contest, that they would, in essence, be trespassing on state trust lands.
Groups such as yours and others have been talking about the need for laws outlawing animal kill contests. Which of our state legislators is taking this matter up?
Well, that is correct, that we see state reform as the way to truly address this because you know, unfortunately, coyotes are not a protected species under state law. Back in the 2013 legislative session that ran January through March, Representative Nate Cote of Doña Ana County came forward and sponsored, introduced and sponsored the Stop Coyote Killing Contest bill. This was a House bill, and it made it all the way to the House floor for a vote where it was narrowly defeated. So just by a few votes, we can essentially pass this legislation and intend to bring it back in 2015, which is why we're encouraging everybody who's really concerned about these contests and what they say about New Mexico, both our national and international reputation, as well as the message we're sending to our children that not only is killing of animals indiscriminately okay, it should that it's in essence celebrated and financially incentivized by these contests. Everybody concerned about all of these issues, we're encouraging them to reach out to their state representatives and senators to let them know that they're following this issue closely. They know that, at least in the case of representatives, they had a chance to really pass reform on these issues. They unfortunately didn't, but we're going to be back and demand to see real action on this.
And you and other animal welfare advocates have stressed before that you're not seeking laws to restrict actual hunting, but rather these killing contests you see as unnecessary and unfair, correct?
That is correct. I mean, this is killing contests are very dissimilar from hunting. They're not regulated in any way. You don't have to have a license or anything like that. And we're not trying to take away the right to hunt. We're not even trying necessarily to take away the rights to shoot a coyote if, you know, he's causing trouble, because that is perfectly legal under state law. What we want to really address with this movement to ban killing contests is the whole, you know, lack disrespect for life that these really kind of showcase, and it's really become a sore spot in our national reputation. You know, New Mexico, through all of these highly publicized contests, has in essence become the kill contest state to the nation and to the world, and this is something that we have to address. For the sake of our wildlife, for the sake of our, you know, reputation, and for the sake of our children, so they don't grow up in a society that basically celebrates killing.
Anything else you'd like us to know today?
Saturday at UNM in Albuquerque, there's going to be a rally and protest against this this weekend's killing contest. It's going to be held at the UNM bookstore from 11 to 1 p.m.
Phil Carter, Wildlife Campaign Manager for Animal Protection of New Mexico, many thanks for joining us here at noon on KSFR, which will continue in just a moment.
Support comes from MexicanWolves.org, inviting the public to attend a sidewalk rally and public hearing on proposals that will help decide the fate of the endangered Mexican wolf in America's Southwest. This Wednesday, November 20th, at the Embassy Suites Hotel on Woodward Place Northeast in Albuquerque. For more information about Wednesday's rally, the public hearing, and related events taking place that day, visit MexicanWolves.org. That's MexicanWolves.org.
27 minutes past the hour as At Noon continues. Santa Fe Mayor David Koss last week issued a call for removal of all waste buried at the Los Alamos Labs Area G nuclear and chemical dump site. The mayor was acting in his role as chairman of the Regional Council of Los Alamos National Laboratory Communities. But the Los Alamos Study Group, an advocacy group studying nuclear disarmament and related issues in New Mexico, called the mayor's comments, quote, empty posturing. Rejoining us now here at the news desk is KSFR's Tom Trowbridge. And Tom, you had a talk today with the study group's executive director, correct?
Yes, Dan. I spoke at length with Greg Mello, who has been active in nuclear disarmament issues for the past three decades. I began by asking him about the problem the group has with the mayor's proposal.
The resolution proposed is not realistic, and the damage that that does is that it dangles in front of the public a distracting and really poorly thought-out plan that attempts to reconcile two opposite futures for Santa Fe, one that is basically put Santa Fe in the pocket of Los Alamos National Laboratory and all that, all which that means, and the other is a real environmental future for Santa Fe, one that emphasizes its unique qualities and invests its attention in its young people and steps up to the realities of the times.
Mello says we can't just have an empty gesture that abandons both the values the city has previously staked out for itself and the fiscal and environmental realities of the problem.
What I'm afraid of is that we're getting in the habit of empty statements by politicians from Barack Obama on down, and then everybody goes back to sleep and says, okay, yeah, we can clean up the lab, we can, you know, you could make a long list. And the effect this has on our polity is that nobody does anything. We don't really think about economic development. We don't really think about the environment. We put forward these placeholders, which happen to be also corporate agendas and serve the Democratic Party in this case. And that's the end of the story. And we're really kind of fed up with it. And we think that at this point in our history, we really need to struggle together to have a more reality-based discourse, or else the region will slide.
I asked Mello if the comments by Mayor Koss sound sensible.
They do on their face, and the proposal could be easily improved by including the broader value issues, the stance that the city has taken relative to nuclear weapons, relative to the future of Los Alamos National Laboratory that the city's already passed in previous resolutions. The absence of those disarmament requirements and nuclear abolition goals is sort of noticeable and may well be related to the underlying problem, which is the mayor's and the city's participation in a Los Alamos National Laboratory lobbying group.
Mello was asked if the proposed resolution was an incremental step in the direction the Los Alamos Study Group desires.
Well, it's a non-binding resolution that tries to get Congress to sign on to an open-ended multi-billion dollar liability. And it could be improved if it were realistic. There'll be tremendous environmental impacts from the mayor's proposal, namely hundreds of thousands of big truck trips, and where will the waste go? We'll pick it up here, bury it somewhere else in another state. We're talking about millions and millions of miles of greenhouse gas-producing truck trips.
And Mello maintains the Regional Coalition of LANL Communities has no business existing.
It's a public-private partnership that harnesses the natural legitimacy of elected government to serve private corporations, for-profit corporations run by billionaires who make their money from the nuclear weapons business, and it is a lobbying outfit for basically a kind of plutocratic footprint we have here in northern New Mexico. That's nothing to do with the interests of New Mexico.
I asked Mello if the issues raised by the study group weren't truly the domain of Congress rather than local government leaders.
Yes, it is. And, you know, it's fine for the city to have resolutions. I think that's a good idea. But it is Congress which does this, and we have to be aware that, for example, Patty Murray was in the paper this morning, Senator from Washington. She is the primary budget negotiator in the Senate. She is extremely protective of the cleanup in her home state in Washington State, where the Columbia River runs, and there is a massive contamination problem right on the shores of the Columbia River, which costs billions of dollars, and there's no end in sight. So the prospect of Patty Murray giving more money for the cleanup program without privileging what are objectively the most serious problems in the country and also happen to occur in her state is just very unrealistic.
The Los Alamos Study Group, says Mello, formed in 1989.
We are a nuclear policy and environmental policy outfit. Lately, we are spending a lot of time in Washington. That's and less time here. We are funded by individual donations primarily and small foundations. That's about it. We're a little too radical for the major arms control foundations that are closely allied with the Democratic Party.
Greg Mello, Executive Director of the Los Alamos Study Group. For KSFR, I'm Tom Trowbridge.
Programming on KSFR is underwritten in part by Medlin Mechanical, a full-service plumbing company specializing in green energy solutions for homes and business in the Santa Fe area for over 5 years. Medlin Mechanical's geothermal and solar systems are designed to cut energy costs and reduce carbon footprint. And tax credits for new systems are available through 2016. To learn more, visit medlinmechanical.com or call 577-8087. That's 577-8087.
12:35 now here in the KSFR newsroom, just past the bottom of the hour, and once again the perfect time to spend 60 seconds with our resident curmudgeon, Christopher Hagen.
You can tell we're getting close to Thanksgiving. The Christmas ads have already been running for a few weeks. I think Christmas ads should start running the day after Christmas. But I guess they already do because we have after Christmas sales. I know, let's run Halloween ads the day after Christmas. That would really spook people out anyway, with Thanksgiving nearly upon us. I saw a banner hanging on the front of the St. Francis Whole Foods. It read, "Responsibly Raised Chickens." There's a bird of a different feather. A lone eagle, you might say. I say it's about time we had responsible birds. The birds where I live don't know what responsible means. Fly all over the place, leave droppings without picking them up. Give me a break. So, kudos to Whole Foods for responsibly raised turkeys. Now, if they only could do something about the irresponsibly raised turkeys in Washington, D.C. For KSFR, I'm Christopher Hagan.
And with that, we conclude today's edition of At Noon, KSFR's extended noon news hour. Dan Garrity with you here at the news desk, with many thanks to my contributing colleague today, Tom Trowbridge. And we'll be back with more news of and for New Mexico for you tomorrow. And as always, we hope you join us.